Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. We are continuing with the chapter on Sihri and the barakat that comes with Sihri, the virtues of Sihri. Allah Ta'ala has made it such that the Sihri that we have has a lot of blessings in it. And we explained that some of the benefits of Sihri is it provides physical strength for the fasting person. It enables one to practice upon the blessed Sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It opposes the ways of the Jews and the Christians. It provides strength for ibadat. It prevents sinful behavior which results from severe hunger. It also assists one to assist the needy. If a person is eating now, it's Sihri time. There may be people that want to fast and don't have anything, but by Muslims all eat, waking up at Sihri time, eating. There will be some people that may need food, so they can also be assisted, and a person gets the opportunity to make dua, to make dhikr, to make tilawat. He gets some tahajjud, salat, etc. by him waking up early for Sihri. So this also gets thrown in as an extra. Person is getting the opportunity of ibadat at the most blessed time for ibadat, for worship. One other thing we learn from here is that Sihri, it is better to delay the Sihri to as close as possible to Fajr, but not going into the time of Fajr. When Fajr time sets in, that is when Sihri finishes. So we don't go into the time of Sihri. We just finish it off before Fajr time sets in. So this is something that is very, very important. So we should try and delay it as much, but not so much that now we are going into the time of Fajr. So continuing with the hadith with regards to this, عن زيد بن ثابت رضي الله عنه قال تسحرنا مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ثم قمنا إلى الصلاة قيل كم كان بينهما قال قدر 50 آية متفق عليه. Hazrat Zayd ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu narrates that we had suhoor with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and then proceeded to perform salah. Someone asked him what was the time span between the two. He replied the time it takes to recite 50 verses. So we had suhoor with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and then proceeded to perform salah. Someone asked him what was the time span between the two, between the Sihri and between the Fajr Salah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He replied the time it takes to read 50 verses. Ulama explained that it takes about 10 to 15 minutes to read 50 verses. So therefore, suhoor should be slightly before Fajr. So here Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, what this hadith is indicating to us, at which time in the night did he have the Sihri? So here it was just before the Fajr Salah, the time it takes to read 50 verses, plus minus 10 to 15 minutes before the Fajr had set in. So this gives us a good indication at which time we should be having or finishing off our Sihri. There are two extremes. Some people say, no, we feel lazy to wake up and have food, so therefore we have a heavy supper and then we sleep. So person shouldn't do this, as we explained, that the starting time for Sihri is after half the night has passed. And the ending time for Sihri is at the time when Fajr sets in. The most best time, the most Mubarak time to partake of the Sihri is closer to the time of Fajr. So from half the night till Fajr, but the best part is closer to Fajr. And here we see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, approximately 50 verses could be read. So it was about 10 to 15 minutes before that Fajr sets in. Also, one other thing is people wait for the last minute, last second, and then sometimes they get confused, etc. We shouldn't be doing that. We should finish off at least 10 minutes before Sihri finishes. So then we are comfortable. There's no doubt in the mind that did I go into Fajr or not. Another thing we learn from this hadith is Sahaba, when they used to indicate time periods, Hazrat Zayd ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu is asked, that how long did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam take? He could have said about 10 minutes, 15 minutes. He could have given some indication as far as time is concerned. But what did he say? He could give some other explanation, but he linked it up with an ibadat. He linked it up with the tilawat of Quran Sharif. So that shows us that when Sahaba would link up time periods with righteous actions, I mean they would link up time periods, they would link it up with righteous actions. That they link it up with some good action. So this is something for us also to understand. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when they were asked about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam performing his Asr Salah, what time would he perform his Asr Salah? the explanation given in the hadith that the time it takes slaughtering a camel and distribution and distributing its meat. Slaughtering a camel, going to the awali, distributing its meat, coming back, that's the time that it would take. So there again we find that here a good action was linked to time period. So Sahaba, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alim ajma'in, they would always link up time period with good actions, showing us that in this time that Allah has given us, we must link up our time also with good actions. Don't just waste it away, futile, in front of the television, following some soccer match, some cricket match. If we have to spend our time, spend it in good actions. And Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma qal, kana li Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam muadhinan, Bilalun wa ibn ummi maktum, فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن بلالا يؤذن بليل فكلوا واشربوا حتى يؤذن ابن مكتوم قال ولم يكن بينهما إلا أن ينزل هذا ويرقى هذا متفق عليه. حضرت عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله عنهما narrates that رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم had two muadhins, حضرت بلال رضي الله عنه and حضرت عبد الله بن أمي مكتوم. حضرت عبد الله بن أمي مكتوم رضي الله عنه was a blind sahabi, but he was the muadhin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When time would set in, then people would tell him that now time has set in, then he would call out the azan. Otherwise he couldn't see the horizon. They would look at the horizon based on the brightness, etc. Then they would give azan. But yeah, he couldn't see. So when he was told, then he would give azan. So Hazrat Bilal radiallahu anhu would give azan at night. And Hazrat Abdullah ibn Ummi Maktoum radiallahu anhu, he would give adhan at the last time, when now time of Fajr is set in. So now he would give adhan at that time. So to understand this hadith, and Hazrat Bilal, from another riwayat we learn that the adhan that was given earlier by Hazrat Bilal radiallahu anhu was so that those people that were in the masjid, they could go, and those people that were at home could come. In other words, people that spend the night in ibadah, they could go home. And those people that were at home now, they could come to the masjid. And then later everyone would come to the masjid, but give them an opportunity. They didn't have watches and clocks, etc. like us. So this adhan would guide them. So just to understand this hadith, so then we'll see, we'll understand the, why I'm mentioning about Hazrat Bilal radiallahu anhu, that he would give adhan earlier, and Hazrat Abdullah ibn Ummi Maktoum radiallahu anhu would give adhan later at the time of Fajr. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had two muadhins, Hazrat Bilal radiallahu anhu and Hazrat Abdullah ibn Ummi Maktoum radiallahu anhu. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Bilal calls out the adhan at night, so eat and drink until Ibn Maktoum, that's Abdullah ibn Ummi Maktoum radiallahu anhu, calls out the adhan. So don't, in other words, don't finish your sehri so early when Hazrat Bilal radiallahu anhu is calling out adhan. Continue eating until Hazrat Abdullah ibn Ummi Maktoum radiallahu anhu calls out the adhan. Again showing us when we should be having sehri. These ahadith are explaining to us when we should be having sehri. We should be having it out closer to the time of Fajr. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma said that the time span between the two adhans was only long enough for one of them to come down and the other to climb up. So the time span between the two adhans was only long enough for one of them to come down and the other to climb up. In other words, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was encouraging us to delay that sehri a little bit longer, although there wasn't too much of time between the two adhans, but still delay it till Hazrat Abdullah ibn Ummi Maktoum radiallahu anhu calls out the adhan. In the era of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, two extra adhans were given in the month of Ramadan. The first was to remind the people to prepare themselves for sehri and to complete their other necessities. The second azan, shortly before dawn, was to inform them that the time of suhoor was about to terminate. And a third azan would then be given after the time of Fajr had entered. However, this practice of giving azans before Fajr did not remain during the era of the Khulafa Rashidin. According to Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi, Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi, and Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi, the second azan was for Fajr, and it used to be given before the time of Fajr had entered. According to the Hanafi scholars, if any azan is given before its time, it will have to be repeated. Hence, it was not the Fajr azan. So this is just one masla to bring, that if the muazzin erroneously, he gives out the azan before the time of Fajr has set in, Will that azan suffice for the time of Fajr? The other madhahib says that the fact that the muazzin gave the azan before Fajr, that is okay. According to us Hanafis, we say no. The time of Fajr, azan has to be given in the time of Fajr. So if the muazzin gave the azan a little bit early, he has to repeat that azan. One last hadith to complete this chapter. An Amr ibn As radiallahu anhu anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, fadru ma bayna siyamina wa siyami ahli al-kitab akalahu as-sihra akalahu as-sahri. Rawahu Muslim. Hazrat Amr ibn As radiallahu anhuma narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the difference between our fasting and the fasting of the people of the book is in partaking of suhoor. The Jews and Christians would eat before sleeping because it was forbidden for them to awaken. In the early days of Islam also, when a person would go to sleep at night, the moment his eyes close, now his fast has started. So there wasn't such a thing as sehri. So a person was tired, if he went to sleep and he didn't eat, and it would happen to Sahaba, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in, that they would sleep because of the tiredness. Now that sehri, that fast has started, and some of them would have been fasting the whole day before that. But just because their eyes closed, that's when the fast would start. Later Allah Ta'ala made it so easy for us that our fasting starts at the time of Fajr, when Fajr sets in, not when the eyes close. So that's the difference. We take sehri, then our fast starts, and then we proceed. Those people in the past, the Jews and the Christians, when their eyes used to close, and in the early days of Islam also it used to be like this. So therefore sehri is something that is very, very easy. It's a barakati meal. It's given from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so therefore we should participate. One other benefit ulama explained is it helps to keep a person's mind cool and calm. Otherwise, because he hasn't had sehri, he gets very hot, he gets very heated up with that fast, and sometimes he can lose it, and the sawab of the fast is completely lost. May Allah ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of making amal. Subhanallah, bihamdi, subhanakallahumma, bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.